black are gold pants, 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 black podcast.
Blackheart Gold Podcast, episode 71. Adam Jacoby, Patrick Vint, on kind of a surreal week. AJ, what's going on?
Not a whole lot, man. I think surreal is putting it mildly, very mildly. Just so you guys know, and I've never had to say anything like this before. At CBS, we're under a pretty substantial edict to avoid editorializing about the Paterno situation, and that's why everything I've written about it has been, you know, just the facts, and that's going to continue being the case. I haven't checked directly with my producer or editor about whether that extends to all platforms or not. I'm assuming it does. So as much as I really want to scream about certain things about this case, I'm going to assume I'm not allowed to on this podcast. So I'm not going to stop either of you from expressing opinions or anything like that. I just can't join you guys.
Fair enough. So, Adam, what do you think about the Joe Paterno thing? No.
It is a situation.
We're going to probably avoid that as much as possible, I think, in general, because there's bigger fish to fry here, football-wise.
Yes, football-wise.
This one is for all of the legends. Or something like that. Michigan State comes to Kinnick Stadium this week. Not the entire state of Michigan, just the football team.
That'd be difficult.
Maybe a few supporters of theirs, one of which might be Pistol Pete Rossman of the Only Colors. Pete, what's going on?
Oh, not a whole lot. How are you guys doing?
Can't really complain, you know.
Yeah, it's Wednesday night. We've kind of ignored the game, other than the fact that our coach has something in his eye. that's really all we know about this week. Now, Michigan State, you know, currently leads the Legends division. Is that the division we're in?
That would be right. Yeah.
Okay, good. I flipped a coin and got that one right. they hold a one-game lead over, well, everybody else, including Nebraska, haha. And they've done it mostly through the air. So, you know, Pete, I picked Michigan State to win the division going into this year, but I thought it'd be more on a kind of a ground game with Le'Veon Bell. What's happened here? Why has it been the Kirk Cousins show, and why is it that the running game's kind of struggled for Michigan State so far?
Well, I mean, I think it's half scheme, half the new offensive line. Michigan State, they've had to replace three offensive line, both tackles and the center. And Skylar Schaffner, who was the starting right tackle, had his leg rolled over in the Notre Dame game, tore something, and went out for the season. So they've had five different guys in at those three positions. Five if you count center, because Travis Jackson and Blake Treadwell have been off and on, and actually third string Ethan Ruvland started at center last week because Jackson was a bit banged up. So they've just had a lot of incongruence on the offensive line that led to it. And the second thing is the scheme. MSU is like under new offensive coordinator since Don Treadwell went to Miami of Ohio. New offensive coordinator's name is Dan Ruschar, and he's had some really good game plans, like the one against Wisconsin, but he's had some real bad ones, like the one against Notre Dame, where it's like, you know what would be cool? If we ran it from an unbalanced line, like, half the time. And last week, where I think they really should have ran it more, but the reason it's been the Cousins show is, one, he's kind of made it that way. Like last week, for like, I mean, not last week against Minnesota, but 2 weeks ago against Nebraska, where the game plan was apparently like, hey, let's throw it to Nebraska's corners and safeties, because their secondary isn't good, right? And it turned out it was. And it was weird, because Bell was, like, getting 5 to 6 yards on the outside, so was Baker. And part scheme, part, you know, line, but, you know, thank goodness Cousins has been mostly good. He's had a couple of clunkers, but he's still been really good. Only one trade him for, like, you know, a couple of other quarterbacks in the conference.
Have you been surprised at how, I mean, Michigan State is not only bad at running the ball this year, they're dead last in the Big Ten. And you identified several factors that are leading to that. But if you had, you know, if before the season you say, okay, we've got to replace these three positions on the line and we're not going to do a good job of it, and we've got a brand new offensive coordinator, would 130 yards, even with the stable of tailbacks that you've got, would 130 yards and dead last in the Big Ten be acceptable to you? Like, could you see that happening, or is this unacceptable to you?
I mean, especially because, I think part of it is unacceptable. I think another part of it is just, like, how teams, like, shifting. Like, you see, like, there's so many spread quarterbacks now in the Big Ten nowadays. It's kind of like the old adage, where I'm going to get a little off track here. It's like, trends start in New York, then work their way down to L.A., then finally meet in the Midwest. Well, it's kind of like the way of the spread offense. You know, they started somewhere in the SEC, then came out of the race of the Pac-10, and now it's finally getting to the Midwest after, you know, so many years. Now you're getting all these pro-style quarterbacks now in the SEC, so that's what's going to become Vogue in a few years. But, I mean, it's so frustrating because they have the backs to do it, and for whatever reason, they're just not getting the blocks. It's just been inconsistent. And it's just, it's not so good, Al. Not so good.
That's how we felt about, well, like every road game we played this year. We understand how that goes. But speaking of road games, you'd mentioned a couple clunkers from Kirk Cousins. Michigan State's gotten on the road 3 times this year. They're 1-2, and the one game they won was a 10-7 slugfest with Ohio State. Should Iowa be taking anything from the fact that the real good Michigan State performances, the ones that beat Wisconsin, that beat Michigan, took place in East Lansing?
Yeah, I guess, you know, somewhat. I guess the one thing that, you know, you could say complimentary about that is that the defense played well in the first half for the entire Ohio State game, save the last drive, and for the first half of Nebraska, they were really good until they were just pounded in submission by Rex Burkhead. For whatever reason, like, the offense just hasn't worked on the road. In the Ohio State game was because they would eventually work their way down the field, but Cousins just threw, like, too many inopportune interceptions. And I guess you could say, like, this, maybe, like, once or twice the same thing for Notre Dame. And in the Nebraska, they just kept throwing it down the field when they should have kept running it. So I guess, you know, I don't know if Michigan State's going to put up a lot of points this week, but, you know, I don't think they're going to, like, self-implode. Because, I mean, last year, Cousins completed more than around two-thirds of his passes. It's just the one or two interceptions he did complete were either, you know, that awesome play from Sash to Hyde for the interception return.
Go on.
Iowa just had too many big plays in the first half. Michigan State couldn't dig itself out of the hole and just then the water. And I think that's one of the nice things about the Antonio teams is the past couple of years, you know, once they get behind, pretty much, you know, after the first half how it's going to play out. Because if Michigan State's somewhat close, they're going to win it. But if they get behind, just it's time to change the TV because most likely they're not.
Sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, do you find that to be a weird trend that when Michigan State loses, it really, really loses? Like, The closest loss you guys have in the last 4 years, or in the last 2 years, excuse me, is 18 points when Notre Dame slapped you guys up and down the field. Now, the overall record is 18-4 at this point. So, you look at the record and it's not time to panic, but what do you think that it's troubling that these losses are so non-competitive? Or I guess uncompetitive. Non-competitive would be a contract. Anyway, uncompetitive.
I think the two this year were sort of competitive because Michigan State hung in there with Notre Dame pretty well through the first half, and so did Nebraska. It's just the second half they sort of like slowly got away. The two last year were just uncompetitive as hell. But I mean, I'd much rather want that than the trend was years before that. It's that, okay, Michigan State has an 18-point lead in the fourth quarter, and I don't feel comfortable at all. I'd rather take this trend than the meme before that.
You mean you don't want to have your head coach slapping himself anymore?
Surprisingly, no. You mean, let's see, what was it? It would have been 2003 Big Ten Coach of the Year, John L. Smith, slapping himself 2 years later.
or the players are out there playing hard and the coaches are screwing it up.
Yeah.
Yep.
That guy. Love that guy. Coaches,
yeah.
Miss you, John L. What has been the story with this defense? Because it has been one of the best units in the country. I'd say you can make a pretty strong argument that it's the best in the Big Ten. I mean, the only other one I think that would really enter the equation would probably be Penn State. When I looked at this team going into the season, it was, I like the skill position players, I like the offense. There's a couple holes the defense need to be filled. What's come together so well for the defense to make this work so well?
Well, part of me wonders if it's just like incompetent spread quarterbacks, because they've made some, for a lot of the Braxton Miller, Denard, for the first half, Taylor Martinez, and I think part of what makes it work so well is that defensive line is just really, really good. You know, the spread offense is like designated on reading the ends, and they have two really good ends. You know, William Golston, when he's not suspended, he's just been a monster athletically, and he's had something like 29 tackles in the last two games, so 6'7", 280, speedy. And the other one that's been unheralded but still just good, Marcus Rush, which is a redshirt freshman, just so good, so good. And the other thing is that the linebackers have been, the ones that have replaced Greg Jones and Eric Gordon, Max Bulla, and Nikos Allen, especially to Nikos Allen, because I think many Michigan State fans knew Bulla was going to step in and just be a hell of a player, but we didn't think Allen would be as, effective as he had been. And I'm looking up the stats right now for tackles for a loss, because I know he's up there. Nope, that's team. What? National player.
He's got 1.22 a game.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, and that's
tied for 38th.
Tied for 38th.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
Yeah, especially for, what can I say, it's really good. And the secondary has been as good as it. It's been as good as ever. What they're really good at is you can't arm punt on the secondary because they are going to make a play on it. Robinson, that's what saved the game against Minnesota. Trenton Robinson picked off two Marquise Gray earned passes, and the best part is I think you have to worry about whether Jarrell Worthy goes pro or not after this year, but they're going to return 8 or 9 of those 11 starters.
Yeah, they're still pretty young. Mm-hmm. The other great thing has been, 13 interceptions gained. That's a huge number. I mean, only Penn State's got more than that. And yet the fumble number is low enough that your overall turnover margin's only +4. But when you can pick off that many passes from opposing quarterbacks, especially when you've played as many spread teams as Michigan State's played so far, that's impressive.
Yeah, that's what kind of makes me worry about this game because, for the first time in, what did we play? I guess really the Big Ten schedule, really say they're facing, like, barring what happened against Marquise Gray last week, because I don't think anyone saw that coming. But yeah. I think for the time, Michigan State's really going to be playing an effective passer, and they're going to have to cover everyone. They can't really, you know, slough off on the coverages and just like keep blitzing five or six, because I think that's been one of the reasons they've been effective, is that they haven't respected some team's ability to pass, so they can just blitz all day and just really cut down on those quarterback runs.
I mean, you guys did face Russell Wilson.
Oh, yeah,
who is only number one in passing efficiency in the nation. Yeah.
How did I forget?
But past that, you're right. I mean, there have been a lot of quarterbacks where you just cover your eyes when they're about to throw the ball on Michigan State's schedule so far. And you're going to have at least one more whenever Kane Coulter winds up in your season finale. Trey Roberson's pretty good at Indiana, though. I've been surprised by him. Going back to an earlier point, now that I've switched points, do you think Golston should have been suspended?
Oh, yeah, and I said as much. You know, the rules are pretty clear. It doesn't matter what Lewin is doing. Like, even, like, you know, if you want to get physical, you just grab him. But, you know, the rules are pretty clear. You punch him, he's out, you know, just take the out for a game. Luckily, it didn't really affect Michigan State negatively against Wisconsin too much, but I wrote as much that, yeah, he should have been gone for a game.
What is with the penalty streak? Because aside from the game against Wisconsin, if I'm remembering right, which you guys were, I don't think got penalized at all, you know, Michigan State is still Michigan State, where, you know, you're almost leading the conference in penalties per game. And the only teams that are worse than you in penalties per game are the dregs of the conference. Why is it that streak seems to live on, you know, no matter who the coach is here?
I mean, beats me. I think I remember something about defensive coordinator Pat Narduzzi saying first, you know, we wanted to play aggressive and without fear, and then after that, we'll worry about penalties, which didn't really, didn't really make sense to me because, you know, look at Alabama. They're like top 10 in penalties, you know, on the good side, not the bad side. So.
Yeah, and yet they still are able to play with as much aggression as anybody.
Yeah. But, I mean, it hasn't cost them too much, I think, because, you know, when they didn't play good, I think just that Michigan game where they just, like, played for reasons, for some reason, like, on the verge, just, like, out of control almost.
Yeah.
Just, you know, there are, like, things called, Black Swans, just these events that just change our, like anomalies that change our perception of how a thing is. I think that Michigan game was really a Black Swan. That's not to say Michigan State team, like, they've had a lot of penalties, but that was just over the top. I think that's how that issue got picked up steam.
Sure. If Iowa goes into this game and they decide they're going to let Cousins throw the ball, but they're going to double team BJ Cunningham in every play, does Michigan State's passing offense still work?
Let's see. I'm trying to remember last game, but I don't think Cunningham caught a lot of balls, so it can work. But just depends on if the game plan's there for it. If our offensive coordinator isn't telling him to throw it deep, so like you know, game plan. So it's definitely possible. He also likes to throw Keyshawn Martin, who does like. Well, the specialist at, you know.
Martin's scary. Martin's a scary player.
Yeah.
They'll take a 5-yard out and just do a couple jukes and get 4 or 5 more yards on it for a first down. Our tight ends have, I don't know why they don't throw it to the tight ends more, because they've got some good ones in Brandon Lincecum and Deion Sims, even though he's playing with a broken wrist, turns out.
I've been kind of surprised at that, too. I think Lincecum's a pretty dang good player, and they've kind of gone completely away from him this year, which has been certainly surprising.
And have you, this is a totally shallow observation on my part, but have you guys actually, like, seen pictures of Brian Lincecum just, like, standing there or walking? He's one of the most weirdly shaped guys I've ever seen. Like, his arms are gigantic. He's enormous. Like, he's, like, a legit 6'7", 6'8". And his head is, I checked, 3 inches from ear to ear, and so he looks like he's like half dinosaur.
I've not checked that out, but I don't think that's going to get out of my mind now. I think that's going to like come with you.
Lincecum race cars.
Lincecumosaurus.
Yes, Lincecum Rex. Well, Pete, what do you see happening on Saturday? How do you see this thing shaking out?
It's senior day for Iowa, isn't it?
It is senior day for Iowa.
Yes. All right.
Which worked out really well the last time we played a Michigan team on senior day.
Yeah.
We lost to Western Michigan in 07 on senior day.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, crap. Yeah, I thought it was going to pop, Ann Arbor, Michigan. But I don't think it's going to be as far away for this, 37. I don't think it's going to get out of hand, 37, like it did last season.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan State could still, the offense has done what it does the last couple of games very still well, could put up 6 if the running game doesn't get going. But I think they'll get a couple touchdowns somehow. I think get the running game together. But I think what worries me is that, you know, Marcus Koch, or when he's not saving us from asteroids, he's got a really good running back. And is McCall going to be back for this game?
Yeah. Well, McCall was technically back last week.
Okay.
And Ferentz in his press conference this week basically said that he could have played, but he didn't, and that was a problem with Ferentz more than it was McCall, that McCall was fine, but Ferentz just didn't want to play him.
All right.
But as said, you know, I think we've gotten past that point. We're going to go ahead and let him run. I still would imagine that 95% of the carries are going to go to Koker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, I mean, at this point, you know, you can I think Koker's proven that he can take, 25, 30 carries a game and just keep on trucking. Yeah, I mean, really, I mean, I think you're looking at two similar pass offenses that, you know, both quarterbacks have a receiver they really like a whole lot. And, I still think Iowa wins this one by, 24-18, 24-17, and just throws the Legends division into further disarray. I'm not too worried if Michigan State loses because their last two games are Indiana and at Northwestern, so they could very well still pull it out. And Nebraska does have a few tough ones, which is the main team Michigan State needs. Well, then I think the main team Michigan State needs to worry about is Iowa at that point if they win.
Damn right.
Either or, but.
Yeah. No, it's a clusterfuck at the top of the division, for lack of a better term. Mm-hmm. Well, Pete, first I'll ask Adam. Adam, what do you think is going to happen this week?
I predict that Brian Linthicum will continue looking like a dinosaur. I think most of what Pete said is pretty much accurate. I think Iowa's going to have a tougher time running the ball than they'd like. I'm still not sold on the play of either of the tackles this year, especially against a couple defensive ends that are probably going to be the best that Iowa's faced this year. Now, fortunately, Koker has no qualms about running between the guards, so it's not like, you know, we're going to try to be getting the corner on every other rush or anything like that, and it's not like it's Jordan Canzari where if you blow on him, he falls over. You know, Coker's a tough dude, and he's going to get yards, and he's going to create yards even after contact. And so, it's not going to be a situation, I don't think, where Iowa only has about 50 or 60 or 70 yards to show for themselves. But I could totally see a situation where all they're getting is, 3 yards a pop. And, you know, once you start getting into, 30 or 40 carries in a game, I mean, yeah, the yards add up, but that's a pretty large portion of your snaps for the game that are going for some pretty insignificant yardage, and that doesn't bode terribly well for Iowa. So I think they're gonna need a really productive day out of Vandenberg, and really for the first time, lean on his arm. Metaphorically, they shouldn't do it literally.
break.
It could very well break, especially if all of them do that. But I mean, you know what I mean. He's had big games, but most of them have come against some cake defenses and in some rather low pressure situations. And you see Vandenberg in high pressure situations sort of shrink from the moment from time to time, not all the time, but enough that I'm a little leery about this game. I'm happy that Michigan State has struggled to run the ball so much because, you know, if Iowa can keep only seven guys in the box, then I think that they can slow down Cousins a little bit too. I think it's going to be a defensive struggle all the way. You know, Iowa's defense looked pretty good against Michigan. I think they're going to look pretty good once again just because, you know, just like they did against Michigan, they're going to force the Spartans to be pretty much one-dimensional. And once you do that, you know, that's half the battle right there. In terms of a score, I'm going to say 17-14 Sparty, probably on a last-minute fourth-quarter drive because this is still Iowa, dude. I really trust Kirk Cousins if the game's on the line, and he's got, you know, 2 minutes and 60 yards to go against that Iowa defense. Yeah, I think it's probably going to come down to something like that, and I trust him to get six.
I generally agree with both of you. I think it's going to be a relatively low-scoring game just based on what Michigan State has done on the road this year elsewhere. Plus, it sounds like the weather could be maybe a bit of an issue. It could be a little bit windy, which certainly isn't good for either team, but it should favor Iowa a little bit based on their ability to run the ball.
Watch, now we're going to get some, like, Maction score, like 50-48 in regulation.
Right. Yes, exactly, because Toledo is going to be involved in this game somehow.
anyway, keep going.
No, but I think it's going to be a relatively low-scoring game. I won't go as low as 17-14, but I do think it's going to be in the 20s. I think it'll be a single-possession game, but at the end of the day, these two teams are awfully similar. I'm really worried that Iowa's not going to be able to get to Cousins. With the problems on Michigan State's offensive line, they're nowhere near the problems on Iowa's defensive line. And Iowa still hesitates to blitz until the very bitter end of games. And so I'm a little bit terrified that Cousins will have 5-6 seconds on every throw and will pick us apart, which is why I'm kind of hoping for the bad weather. I'm also a little bit worried that this is the first time that Vandenberg has really faced a top-notch defense other than Penn State's, and he did not do well against Penn State's defense. But with that said, I feel like there's a little bit of momentum going Iowa's way. Michigan State's played a couple of games in a row since the Wisconsin game that have not looked particularly good. I'm feeling just a little bit giddy about the Hawkeyes. I'm going to say Iowa 24, Michigan State 20. And just wait to be proven wrong. Because every time I take Iowa this year, we always end up, you know, having trouble. But
But now you're doing it when they're at Kinnick, and so
right.
There's 90% of the battle.
And we'll get my hopes up just enough that when I go to Purdue the week after and they lose by 4 touchdowns, I will be able to say, I knew this was coming.
Pete, do you have a score?
I think I said 24-17, but I'd just like to add a couple of points.
Sure.
It's that the Michigan-Michigan State game was a really windy game, too, and I looked up those stats real quick. And Cousins was 13 of 24 for 120 yards and 2 touchdowns. And I think what those stats don't tell is that how often, like, he just completed, like, 3rd and 5 and 3rd and 6 passes and just managed to dink the way down the field that way.
No one ever does that against Iowa.
God damn it.
Yeah, that's a bad sign for us. Everybody converts third downs against Iowa. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to
hear it. That, like, Michigan, like, Iowa, for some reason, Michigan State almost always sucks there. Like, they haven't won there since 88 or 89, so hopefully this game will break it, but we'll see.
Yeah. All right, well, I want to thank Pete for being on the show and wish him the absolute worst of luck on Saturday and the best going forward. And you remind everybody that you can catch Pete daily at The Only Colors. Hey, Pete, before I let you go, Sparty Hoops. What's the quick storyline for the real sport in East Lansing?
Oh, I'm so excited for it to start on Friday, just on an aircraft carrier. I'm so excited.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome.
They should be, like, ranked 4th or 5th to start, but they have enough to raw talent to challenge Ohio State. because Knicks has, like, slimmed down that he doesn't even look like the same player anymore. If Payne can, like, improve between the years and get his defensive assignments down, it's really good. They have a new 1-year rental in Brandon Wood, who played for Valparaiso with Alvarez last year.
Yeah.
Brandon Dawson, 5-star McDonald's All-American last year, just looked like a 6'6", like, looking rebound with the best of them. It won't be as deep as it usually is, from 1 to 6, there's a drop-off, but I'm really excited. This should still be NCAA tournament team, and I'm just thankful that we don't have to deal with the same expectations that we did last year, because that just tanked pretty quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm certainly looking forward to Michigan State being another probably top 4 or top 5 seed team in March, and them losing it Carver Hawkeye anyway.
All right. Well, thanks, Pete. And once again, The Only Colors. Let's read them, listen to them, watch them, whatever.
Love them.
Thanks, Pete.
Okay. Thanks for having me, guys.